Joan, will you pray for me before we preach?
Yes. Dear Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for Pastor Jeff, dear God. And thank you that you brought him here to give us love and peace and a good church, dear God. And Lord, I lift up Jeff to you today. Pray in Jesus' name, dear God, that you will speak through Jeff. It will be your words and your story, dear God. Please give him your best Holy Spirit power and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. If you guys don't know Joan, you need to get to know her before she goes back to California. We've been speaking about Jesus for the last couple weeks leading up to Easter. And we've been going through the book of John and the I am phrases of Jesus. He says 8 separate times, I am dot, dot, dot in scripture. And our question that we've been asking is, who is Jesus? This is a question that the church poses often. If we're not posing this question to those around us, we're essentially not doing our job as followers of Jesus. So who is Jesus? And then more specifically, who does he say he is? Who does Jesus say he is? The world has a lot of things to say about Jesus. We heard a couple of them. Maybe he was a king. Maybe he was a superhero. Maybe he was just a really good guy. There were shirts a couple years ago that said, Jesus is my homeboy. We have all kinds of different understandings of who Jesus is, but who does Jesus really say he is? And we've been looking at those phrases in Scripture because when he says something about himself, he is either telling the truth, he's either lying, or maybe on the worst-case scenario, he's a crazy man. Because he says some pretty outlandish things about himself. And so we've been in this series called This Is Us. This is Jesus, not This Is Us. I know some of you are like, we'll have a counseling session after the service for anybody who's watching that show, myself included. I'm in therapy because of it. Jesus is the answer to the turmoil that you're going through from watching that show. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And this morning we're focusing on the phrase that he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I don't know about you, but I am not a morning person. Level of laughter, level of... There's a couple of us in here this morning that are not morning people. It takes me a while to get going. And I have this routine on Sunday mornings. I get up before anybody else, generally, unless one of the kids forgets what time it is. I get up before everybody else. The house is still dark. I go downstairs. I make myself a cup of coffee. I open the curtains. I sit down on one of our couches, and I pull out my notes from the week, and I kind of look them over. And then I go back, and I get my coffee. Well, nothing had changed in my routine, except all the lights weren't on yet. And I go, and I sit down, and I remember I heard the coffee percolating, so I go over. We have a Keurig, so I can do one shot at a time. And I went over there, and I looked at my cup in the Keurig, and it was all white. The water in it was all white. I'm a cream and Splenda guy. And so I put the cream and Splenda in, and somewhere along those lines of twilight and awakeness, I forgot to put the coffee in the Keurig. So what I had was a nice cup of creamed Splenda-y water. That would have done nothing for me this morning. Nothing for me this morning. I have this thing where I have this understanding that I need coffee to function. I need coffee to function. I need coffee to wake myself up. And without it, I'm walking through the world kind of in a daze until about 10:30. But I want to tell you this morning that there is something better than coffee. Yeah. There is a coffee that will last for your soul, and I believe it is Jesus. And so this morning, I want to look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 20 this morning. And then we're gonna do some background work on this passage of Scripture. John chapter 8, in your pew Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, it's page 1037, or pull your app open, whatever it is. John chapter 8, starting in verse 12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written, the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching the temple courts near the place where the offering was put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. This statement that he makes at the beginning, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Doesn't start here. It starts back in chapter 1. We have some prep work to get us to this point when Jesus makes this statement. And so I want to go back to chapter 1. You don't have to go there. I've put it up here on the screen for you. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him, and then in verse 12, yet all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So before we get to this point where Jesus makes this statement, somebody else is making the statement for him, and his name was John. And these are the claims that John makes about Jesus. That he was in the beginning, before anything happened, before creation itself happened, Jesus was. Now that's either really cool or craziness, that a man existed before all everything that we have and see around us was made. Not only that, but creation was made through him. The creation wouldn't have happened without Jesus. That he is life, the essence of life, and the light for the entire world. That without him there is no light. And those who believe in Jesus would become children of God. Now those are some crazy statements by this guy, John. Or their truth that will change the world. We're knee-deep in my family in March Madness right now, in the brackets, and I am currently losing. I need a Hail Mary from North Carolina to win the whole thing, to not lose to my wife for the 17th time. But watching March Madness, if any of you have been, there's this been ongoing storyline about this kid from UCLA, and his name is Lonzo Ball. And his dad, LaVar Ball, played in the NBA. And right now, he is the biggest talker in all of sports. He has made the most outlandish claims about his son and himself. He himself averaged in the National Basketball Association all of 2 points for every game that he played. But he's made statements that he is one of the greatest players to ever play. Now his son comes along in UCLA, and he is really, really good. He's an amazing player. He's probably going to go top five in the draft. But his dad is making claims about him that he will be the greatest basketball player of all time. He will surpass Michael Jordan. He will put LeBron James' children's wealth to shame. That was one of the latest things. His kids will have be more set up, more wealthy than LeBron James, which caused a huge firestorm in the media. His dad's words will mean nothing, if Lonzo does not accomplish what his dad's saying. His dad's been all kinds of claims about his son. He's going to be the greatest. Unfortunately for him, he didn't make it out of the Sweet 16. But when he gets to the NBA, if he doesn't accomplish everything that his dad said, his dad will be a liar. John the Baptist came into this world speaking about this guy, Jesus, who would come to bring light. And these are the claims that he made about Jesus. That he was before everything, that through him creation was made, that he is life, the essence of life. He will bring light to the entire world, and that if all who believe in him will now become children of God. If Jesus does not fulfill these things, then John is a liar. As we go throughout this book of John in chapter 3, Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders at the time, came to Jesus at night because he didn't want other religious leaders to see him interacting with Jesus. And he says, "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" And Jesus' response to him is, "Light has come. Light has come." In chapter 4 of the book of John, Jesus begins to get in this interaction with religious leaders of the day, testifying about himself. And this battle between the two of them, this conversation, goes almost through the rest of the book as he's interacting with people that he comes in contact and the religious leaders. And then we come to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, which leads us right to chapter 8, it is the feast time of the Feast of the Tabernacles is being celebrated. And this is what we need to know about the Feast of the Tabernacle, because it sheds light on why Jesus says what he says. This is the feast that's also called Sukkot. It celebrates God caring for his people during the wilderness experience. Thousands of years before, as the Israelites came out of Egypt, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And during that time, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Because when it's dark time, you cannot see. We had this great analogy, this great story over here, and all the little kids give you all different kinds of examples of what sheds light into darkness. And God chose a pillar of fire to lead his people through the wilderness when it was dark out. I want you for a moment to go to a time in your minds when the lights went out. You're sitting there on the couch, watching a good show, a movie, reading a book, talking with your family, and all of a sudden, the lights go out. Just for a moment, what are the feelings that come to you when that happens? There's a bit of fear. There's a big turmoil. Do we have flashlights? Do we have candles? Can we get to them? Do we remember this room well enough to get to the places where those things are so that we don't hurt ourselves and bump into something? In my office upstairs, there's a light switch at the bottom of the steps, and then I don't have lights in my office. I don't have a switch. I have to make my way over and pull the cord. And I think I've navigated this thing well enough times that when I'm here at the church and it's nighttime, I can just run up the steps and get to where I need to and pull that cord on the lamp. The problem is I'm 6'2", and the ceiling going up the steps is about 5'4". And there's been a couple of times when I'm going up those steps, and I think I know where I'm going with the lights on, and bam. And Susan has heard me before hit that thing so loud and sit down. And she goes, "Are you okay?" And I just need a moment. Just need a moment. When we're wandering through this world in darkness, it can be a very scary place. Life in general in darkness can be scary. When Jesus was leading his people throughout a wilderness that they did not know and had no remembrance of before, he led them by light so they knew where they were going. Jesus stands up at the festival to have a conversation with the people, and he says in John chapter 8, in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." I want to break this verse down because I can gloss over this really quickly and miss what Jesus is really claiming about himself. First, he says, "I am." I am. That phrase is used three other times in that passage, and the claim that he is saying when he says those words, "I am," dates back to before the Exodus, when Moses was interacting with God, and a bush was on fire but not burning up. And as he listened to the voice speaking from that bush and telling him what he needed to do to lead the people out of Egypt, the bush said, "I am." God gave himself a name, and that name was "I am." It's the same phrase here in the New Testament that is used in the Old Testament, and it is this phrase, "I am." If there is any misunderstanding of who I am claiming to be, I am. I'm not just a person. I'm not just a good person. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a person who makes miracles happen. I'm not just the guy who we talked about 2 weeks ago who made 5 loaves and 2 fish feed thousands of people with 12 baskets left over, who walked on water to meet his disciples halfway across the Sea of Galilee. I'm not just that guy. I am. I am the one that you've been waiting for. I am the one that people told you about. I am. Amen. And that's only 2 words in this sentence. The light. The light. Or the light. There are all kinds of lights in this world. We heard about a bunch of them. I am the light. There are all kinds of lights, but I'm the light. Having a flashlight holding in your hand, walking through the darkness of a forest is very different between not having that flashlight and being there during the daytime when the sun is shining and you can see everything. You may have been walking through this world with a flashlight, but I'm the light that governs the day and the night. Not a light, the light. Of the world. Not just of the Jewish people, of the Israelites, of the ones who choose to follow me. All of the world. I'm the light for all of the world. Not just part of the world, not just this part of the world, not just that part of the world, but the whole world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. You can continue to walk through darkness if you want. You can walk through darkness. Have fun. As the kids said, tripping over rocks, bumping into trees, falling in the fire. Oh my. You can continue to do that, or you can choose to follow me. Because I have the light of life. You think life is good now. You think life is bad now. How about life with real light? True light that will last, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for all eternity. Amen. Do you want that light? Yes. Because that light is never going away. Yes. And no matter how dark the days are, that light will still be there. Amen. And no matter how light those days seem, that light will be brighter. And so this is the truth. The day versus the night. I had this friend of mine at Nyack College that I went to. His name was Ron. And Ron had the craziest stories. Well, Ron's stories were absurd, some of them. And he told us the story about him and a bunch of his friends, how they went across the country. They wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. And they're driving along in this beat-up van, and they got to a point where they didn't want to drive anymore, so they pulled off the road, and they pulled up next to a tree. And they get out, and they wanted to stretch their legs, and one of his buddies goes running out into this open field. He's just running, he's just having a good, cartwheels, all kinds of stuff, stretching out. And he got to this certain point, and there was a man standing there, and just put his hand on his chest, and he said, "Don't go any further." I was like, "Whoa. Where are you? Where did you come from? What are you doing here?" He didn't have time to answer any of those questions. He just turned around and went back because he doesn't know where he is. He's in the middle of the darkness, and there's a guy standing there. He turns around, and he comes, and he tells his friends, "Dude, there's a guy out there." And they're like, "All right, let's get in the van. Let's lock the doors." They woke up in the morning, and they were parked next to a tree, and not far in front of the tree was the Grand Canyon. He didn't know if he was running on air. All he knows is there was somebody there to stop him from falling. We can wander around this world in darkness with all kinds of things that can trap us and make us fall, that want to destroy you and me and the world around us. Or we can come into the light. Because in daytime, all the stuff that wants to destroy you becomes visible in the light. This is both inclusive and exclusive. It's inclusive in that it doesn't matter what nation you are a part of, what political affiliation you align yourself with, what your economic status is, or your level of experience or knowledge. None of that matters. Whatever part of the world you are from, we just heard this morning about India, it doesn't matter where you are from, the light is available to everyone. Jesus' claim of, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me," whoever follows me, "will never walk in darkness." It doesn't matter any of those things. None of those things matter to Jesus. What matters is if you choose in. And right before this story where Jesus speaks about who he is, there's a story about an adulterous woman caught in adultery. And Jesus says, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." If it's inclusive enough for her, it is inclusive enough for all of us. It doesn't matter what has happened in your past or is currently happening right now. We all have an opportunity to come to Jesus. But it is exclusive in that we have to choose. There is a choice to make. We can continue to walk in darkness, or you can choose to walk in the light. We must choose to follow Jesus in order to be in the light. Jesus goes on to say in John 8:31, if you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to know truth, Jesus says, follow me. Now, we could spend the next umpteen years of all eternity to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. We're going to spend several more weeks on what Jesus says about following him. But when he is asked, when Jesus is asked, what does it mean to follow me? What does it mean to follow you, Jesus? He breaks the Ten Commandments up into two phrases. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, everything that you've heard hinges on these words. And the truth will set you free. Now that's a very simplistic way of breaking it down. But when you choose in, when you choose to follow Jesus, a transformation takes place. And you're no longer walking in darkness. You are now walking in light. And we can choose to follow Jesus. And then we need to choose to follow Jesus. There was a study a couple years ago that came out in the New York Time magazine. They ranked the top 100 most influential people in the world. And Jesus was ranked number 3. Behind Muhammad and Isaac Newton. We chuckle, we laugh. The church, capital C church at the time, got all upset that Jesus was third. Come on! Jesus is first! And the author of the article said, if Jesus' followers actually followed him, I'd move him up to number 1. If we actually followed him, if we lived out loving God and loving others and following what Jesus said to choose into him, amen. Man, I'll move him to the top of the list in a heartbeat. But until then, he's third. I think there's a couple different ways that we can close out today. Maybe you're not in the place. Maybe I haven't done a great enough job of explaining Jesus, and that's a strong possibility. How do you describe God entering flesh, taking on the form of a human, dying on the cross for your sins, so that we can understand? Come back next week. But maybe you're at the place where your life right now is just so darkness, and you're tired of walking in darkness anymore. Today is your day. This is the hour. This is the moment to put darkness aside and come into the light. So maybe this morning for the first time, today is your day to follow Jesus. Maybe you've made a decision to believe in Jesus, but you aren't currently following him. And there is not a whole lot about your life that says you're walking in light. This is not a do better, try harder thing. It's a following Jesus thing. And maybe right now, whatever's going on in your life, darkness has seemed to invade and you've lost the reality that Jesus is light for you today, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. And so today, you need to re-choose to follow Jesus. If you are currently following Jesus, what is he calling you to today so that others will know that you are currently following Jesus so that he is no longer third on the list, but he's first in the eyes of the world? We heard 2 weeks in a row. We heard last week from Soot and Cena
that when people act out the love nature of Jesus in Cambodia, that people come to Jesus. We heard from Robert that when people act out the love relationship with Jesus, it is different than what they are experiencing, and so they choose in. What is God calling you to as a follower of Jesus so that it causes others to want to choose in? Because there's a lot of us who call ourselves Christ followers who are living out darkness in a dark world. And it's time for us to live out light. It's time for us to walk in the light. Let me pray for you. Lord Father, I pray for each and every single one of us this morning, no matter what our experience is, whether we're ready to follow you or not, whether we're ready to follow you, whether we're ready to re-follow you. Or we sit on the edge of excitement, yearning to what is next, what is today, for us to follow you. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask that you would speak to those who aren't quite ready to follow you. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would push all the negative junk of the world away, and that you would speak directly to them. That you would call them to yourself. Lord Jesus, for anybody who's sitting here this morning who is feeling like today is the day for me to choose in, to follow Jesus for the first time, may you not leave without declaring it so. For those who are sitting here this morning and the darkness has kind of come back in, they've made a commitment to follow you, to believe in you. Lord Jesus, I call the darkness out and say you have no authority in their life this morning. Invade them with your light this morning. May they truly see your light in their life. And Lord, empower those who are sitting on the edge of excitement to step into what you have for them next. Empower them this morning with joy and passion and perseverance. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.